Matthew chapter 2. If you want to turn in your Bibles there and follow along with me, it'll be up on the screen as well. Matthew chapter 2, we're talking about the wise men and we're unpacking the gifts that the wise men brought. Let's read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 through 12. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" And I noted this last week. It's kind of interesting. They knew exactly where this Savior was to be born, and yet they did not believe. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked them, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Lord, as we open up these gifts, we open up your word. Reveal to us the things that we need to be challenged by, the things we need to listen to and be warned about, and that we need to learn to apply to our lives this morning and the weeks to come. May you be honored and glorified in our study and in our worship, like you already have been, I think. In Jesus' name, amen. I have just enjoyed the worship, the special numbers we've had over the last couple few weeks. It's been a wonderful time of worshiping and giving honor to God. I'm going to talk about a fragrant aroma. Is anybody smelling it back there yet? Maybe we need to turn the fans on to get the smell around. It's pretty good stuff, pretty good stuff. Frankincense. I didn't note, but this frankincense is grown where this ambassador is, and in Somalia, and in the Arabian Peninsula, those areas there. This is where this frankincense comes from. So I went to the African shop up on Mary Street, and I asked him for some. I forget what they say it is. Unsi. And he looked at me, he goes, "Yeah, we have some of that." and he gave me a jar of the frankincense. And it's kind of an interesting smell, of course. It comes from the boswellia tree. Very unique looking tree. It's only grown in certain areas of the world. A unique spice, a unique fragrance. And as the Israelites were taking their journey through the wilderness, if you reflect back on that, when they went through the Arabian Peninsula, no doubt they came in contact with this spice. They had to, because the tabernacle, it was used in the tabernacle. Frankincense was used in the tabernacle, and God knew that they could get this fragrant incense to work with in the temple worship, in the tabernacle worship. It was used with the grain offerings. It was mixed in them, and then it was burned as an offering on the altar of incense in the holy place. And it was a way for the people to praise God for His mercies and His provision. In Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, we read, "When you present the grain offering as an offering to the Lord, the offering must consist of choice flour. You are to pour olive oil on it, sprinkle it." I didn't do that. That's probably why it's not burning. You sprinkle olive oil on it, sprinkle it with frankincense, and bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and the priests will scoop out a handful of flour moistened with oil together with all the frankincense and burn this representative portion on the altar. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. A pleasing aroma to the Lord. The rest, and it goes on to talk about what to do with the rest of it. This was used to give an offering to the Lord. It was a blessing to the Lord. A way of showing thanks for God's mercies and His provision. Interestingly enough, in Leviticus 5, verse 11, it says, "Since this is an offering for sin," he's talking about offerings that are given for sin, for your atonement of sin, "you must not moisten it with olive oil or put any frankincense on it." Apparently, when God wanted them to give a sin offering to cover their sins, He didn't want it smelling good. He didn't want this fragrant aroma coming out of this sin offering. So that we wouldn't get, or the Israelites wouldn't get the idea like, "Oh, I'm going to give us another sin offering because it smells good." No, sin stinks. God doesn't want us to enjoy the aroma of sin. So He specifically said, "Do not use this frankincense in the sin offerings." Also, these incense offerings were symbolic of the prayers of God's people going up to heaven. If you would turn to the one slide there with this is kind of an overview of the tabernacle that went with the Israelites through the wilderness. This first part here is where the burnt offerings are, where they would give a sacrifice for their sins. So the priests would come in the doors here. They would take the people's offering, be it a goat or whatever it was, and put it on the burnt offering there, and it would burn. God Himself started this fire, and He kept it going. And the priests would take a coal out of this, off this burnt offering here, and take it and go inside the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, the holy place, and put it on the incense, the altar of incense. Go to the, and then you'll see the smoke coming up. So they would put your sin sacrifice here. Then they'd take a coal off of that fire, walk in the door here, and put it on the altar of incense and burn what we were burning this morning, the frankincense. So the first things first, you come in the door, the first thing you do, you need to atone for your sins. Because we're dealing with a holy God, and we go into His presence, we better have our sin covered. So after the meat offerings of sin came the prayers and the offerings where you could come into contact with God. Exodus 30, verse 34 through 36 says, "The Lord said to Moses, gather fragrant spices, resin, droplets, mollusk shell, and galbanum, and mix these fragrant spices with pure frankincense, weighed out in equal amounts. Using the usual techniques of incense maker, blend the spices together, sprinkle them with salt to produce a pure and holy incense. Grind some of the mixture into the very fine powder and put it in the front of the Ark of the Covenant. Put it in the front of the Ark of the Covenant, which is right up here. So this is in front of it. It'd be on the altar of the incense, and there might have been another place they'd put it as well, but they had put it in front of the altar of incense. And listen to this in Exodus 30, verse 36. Put it in front of the Ark of the Covenant where I will meet with you. God is saying this to his people. This is where I will meet you. God does not meet the Israelites at the altar of burnt offerings. They were covered with sin, and they come here and they make atonement for their sins, and then they could get into the priests would go in here and offer up prayers. The people would be outside, but they would offer up prayers to God as a result of their sins being atoned for. That's where God would meet them, in the tabernacle. You must treat this incense as most holy. This comes with a warning in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10 through 20. I won't read all those verses, but I will read verse 13. There's a warning in this passage. Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offering disgusts me. As for your celebrations of new moon and Sabbath and your special days for fasting, they are sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. The Israelites were not taking this seriously. And God was saying, it was so bad that you haven't dealt with this sin in your life, and it stinks. It stinks to high heaven, if you could use that slogan. Their offerings were meaningless. They didn't mean it because they did not deal with the sin in their lives. We'll get to the application of this a little bit later on. Psalm 51, David harbored sin in his life. Where are we at here? Psalm 51, great psalm of repentance. Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17. This is what David said. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. I will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. God wants a broken spirit and a repentant heart. Psalm 51, 16 to 17. There's a warning with that. Leviticus verse 10, chapter 10, gives us a sobering illustration of how serious God takes our attitude when it comes to Him, when it comes to going into His presence. Let me read to you Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 3. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, put coals of fire in their incense burner and sprinkled the incense over them. In this way, they disobeyed the Lord by burning before Him the wrong kind of fire, different than He had commanded. So fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and burned them up, and they died there before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when He said, I will display my holiness through those who come near me. I will display my glory before all the people. And Aaron was silent. Nadab and Abihu had offered strange fire. Go back to the, we're on this one, okay. They had come in the gate, bypassed the burnt offering altar where they should have made atonement for their sins. and went into the most holy place and tried to light the incense. And God's fire came down from heaven and killed them. God takes this very serious. We cannot approach a holy God without atonement for our sins. That was the purpose of the process in the tabernacle. We'll get to the solution to that here in just a bit. But that's the way it was in the Old Testament, and God expected them to obey, to follow His commands. And they decided to do things their own way. Nadab and Abihu, don't name your kids that, all right? That is not a name to pick. And if you've picked it, let's make some legal process to change it, okay? God can redeem that too. But these guys decided to do their own thing. And they approached God on their own terms. And it didn't work too well. Did not work out too well. If you want to talk to God, your sins have to be covered. If you want to talk to God, you want to have any conversation with God, your sins have to be covered. Let's go to the next point on frankincense. Frankincense, this gift that the wise men brought, also not only symbolizes the prayers of the people going up to heaven, it's also symbolic of Jesus as our high priest. Because of the use in the tabernacle, frankincense is a symbol of Jesus' role as our priest, bringing our requests to the Father. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. This is you need to mark this chapter in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5, I'll just read verse 2 right now. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. A pleasing aroma to God. His life was given on our behalf. He came down from heaven, gave up all his rights to the throne, came down and was born and laid in a manger for us. His life was given on our behalf as a pleasing aroma to God. And the only way that it could be pleasing to God is if it was perfect, because God is holy. And Jesus lived a perfect life without sin. And even as he took on our sin on the cross, it still went up to God as a pleasant aroma because of his perfection. I think that's just amazing. The sacrifice that Jesus did on our behalf so that we could have forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 4. Now I know Hebrews 4 has way more in it than I can even pull out like I'm doing here. But on your own, study it. As well, study the entire book on what it says about Jesus as our high priest. Well, let me read to you from chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, first of all. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do. For all you college students, just got through all your tests. God suffered through way more tests than you ever have had, and I've ever had. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do. We're talking about tests in life. And yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of gracious God, where we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Christ became our high priest, the go-between us and the Father. The go-between, just like the priest was in the tabernacle, going into the most holy place, he would take our prayers with him and offer them up to God. And the people could see the smoke rising, and they would know that their prayers are going up to heaven. Jesus became our high priest, the go-between us and the Father. Because Christ was without sin, God appointed him as the mediator between the Father and us. Let me read chapter 5 in Hebrews, the first 10 verses. Every high priest is a man chosen to represent other people in their dealings with God. He presents their gifts to God and offers sacrifices for their sins, as we just described. We're talking about the earthly priests. And he is able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weaknesses. That is why he must offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as theirs. The priest had to cover his own sins, let alone the other sins of the people. He had to cover them both before he went into the holy place. Nadab and Abihu did not. And no one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. He must be called by God for this work, just as Aaron was. That is why Christ did not honor himself by assuming he could become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, "You are my son, today I've become your father." In another passage, God said to him, "You are my priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Now that's a whole nother sermon in itself. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest. And he became the source. Get this. He became the source of eternal life, eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God designated him to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He understands your weakness. He understands my weakness because he experienced the same, yet he did not sin. Therefore, God qualified Jesus to be our high priest, our perfect high priest, our source of eternal life, our source of eternal life. And because of that, Jesus intercedes for us. He offers up prayers to the Father on our behalf because we don't even know how to pray at times. We find it difficult to find words to say to God because we're at a loss of words. And yet, Jesus hears us, knows exactly what we need, and offers up prayers on our behalf. And his life was a fragrant aroma. Because he was perfect and he bore our sins, and it presented a fragrant aroma to God. Jesus intercedes for us. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Love this chapter. Love this verse. Romans 8, 34. Then who will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us, lifting up prayers on our behalf to the Father, because we don't even know how to pray. We get ourselves into predicaments where we say, "I don't know what I did, and I don't know how I ended up in this mess. God help me." And God is already offering up prayers on our behalf, even when we don't know how to pray. I love that, because there's been plenty of times where I didn't have a clue what to say to God. He intercedes for us. Hebrews, back to Hebrews chapter 7, 25. Another favorite verse. Hebrews 7, 25. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf, on our behalf. He lives to intercede for you and me. That is incredible. He intercedes for us. But it comes with a warning. It comes with a warning. John chapter 14. You know this verse, and I know it by memory, but I'm going to look it up regardless. John 14, verse 6. I don't know what I said there. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's not the warning part. The warning part's coming. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, but through me. That's the warning. That is the way that we meet God, is through Jesus Christ. That is the only way that we can meet God. It is through what Jesus Christ has done for us and accepting that sacrifice for our sins. Don't be a Nadab and Abihu. Don't be one of those who try to go on their own, make their own way to God. You can pay for your own sins, by the way. You can pay for your own sins. It's eternally separated from God in hell. That's not a good option. That's not a good option in my park, anyway. The other part that I want to point out on frankincense is their application for us. Frankincense, this gift that the wise men gave to Jesus, is also symbolic of our lives. We are to be Christ-like fragrance, to put out an aroma. 2 Corinthians, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. But thank God, He has made us His captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. Rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. Who is adequate for such a task as this? The men went to a men. Our men's. This is a plug for small group Bible studies and small group. Joining a small group, so we'll get started here in this next semester. The men went out had a fish fry last Thursday. The best fish I have ever had. It was really good. You guys did great, man. That was awesome. The best fish I've ever had. It was kind of cold out, so we did it in the garage, and these guys know what they're doing. For the most part. But it was cold, so we shut things up, and we fried our fish in there and fried the potatoes and the onions and the peppers. It was good. It was really good. Are you guys hungry yet? It was good. And we got in our vehicle and went home, sat down on the couch, and honey, man, that was the best fish I ever had. You stink. Take a shower. Get those clothes washed. To us, that smell was life-giving. That was awesome fish. That was the best fish I've ever had. To my wife, who didn't taste it at all, it stank. It stank. Get those clothes off. It wasn't just my wife either. I won't see a raise of hands or anything. But to some people, to us who were there eating that fish, that was the best flavor, the best smell that we've had in a long time. But somebody else who didn't partake of that, it was putrid. Get out of those clothes. Do you see the difference here? Our lives as believers are to be presenting a sweet perfume of eternal life to those who are stuck in darkness and have no lights to guide them. But somebody who is stubborn and refusing to listen to God's direction in their life, refusing to listen to the Holy Spirit in their lives, when we come into the room, it's like, get out of here. I don't want to even talk about it. Have you ever had that happen? I've had that happen. Our perfume that we're giving off is a repulsive smell to somebody that's not going to heaven. It's the smell of death because that's what it is. That's where they're going. But to somebody who is seeking Jesus, and we come into their presence, we're living a life that God calls us to live, and we walk into the room, they say, I want some of that. I need some of that. I desperately need what you are putting out. That's the fragrant aroma of Christ. Sure, it's going to be repulsive to those that are going to hell because it's telling them that's where they're going. And if they don't care, and if they're mad at God for some reason or other, they don't want to hear the gospel. Our lives put off an odor, aroma that is life-giving to those who are seeking Jesus. It's deadly to those who are not and refuse to accept Christ's forgiveness. And rightfully so. Frankincense is symbolic of our lives. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your bodies as living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of service. That's our offering to God, is our lives. Ephesians 2, going back to that chapter in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Christ gave off a fragrant aroma. He wants us to put off that same aroma. You really should read all of chapter 5 if you need some instruction on how to begin to smell with that perfume of Christ, that fragrant aroma of Christ. Read the entire chapter. It gives some really powerful instructions. Frankincense is symbolic of our lives. It's also symbolic of our prayers. Psalm 141, verse 2. Psalm 141, verse 2. Accept my prayer. David is praying to God. Accept my prayer. And he's referring to the altar of incense. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. It's symbolic of our prayers. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one of them had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Which are the prayers of God's people. In Revelation verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, another angel with gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. It's symbolic of our prayers. But it comes with a warning. This first warning is maybe directed at husbands, but it's applicable to all. 1 Peter. Where are we at here? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 is a warning. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should. Here's the warning. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. Sin has a way of impacting our prayers. Sin cuts off our prayer, our conversation with God. When we don't deal with sin in our lives, don't expect God to hear our prayers. As he says in Isaiah, it stinks. It's repulsive. Your prayers are repugnant to me when you're not dealing with the sin in your life. Sin has a way of hindering our prayers. 1 John. 1 John. Got to turn to that one. Where are we at here? Up front here. I can't find it. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Beginning at verse 7, if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Here's the warning. If we claim we have no sin, we are already fooling ourselves. We are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. That's the warning. How are we doing? Let's wrap this gift up. After we've unwrapped it, let's wrap it up. What does this mean for you and me? Is your life, is my life setting off aroma, a Christ-like aroma to those around us? It doesn't matter if they think it stinks or smells good. That's their issues. Are we radiating the Christ-like aroma? Our lives are the Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15. Are we dealing with sin as it comes up in our lives? So as you read the story of the story of all the wise men that came, I don't know how many it was, and I don't know how many gifts they gave. They gave three kinds of gifts. As you read this story and you come across the gift of frankincense, think about the ramifications of this gift. The fact that Christ is the go-between. His life is the go-between for us and God. And he calls us to be that fragrant aroma in our world that we live in. I want to encourage you. Coming up in January 5th through the 25th, we're going to spend some time in prayer. And on the chalkboard, there's a list. There are morning, noon and evening time. To take that time, I need 63 people to, you know, one person to fill one slot. You don't have to fast 21 days. Just one of those meals. That's all I'm asking. If you want to do those 21 days, I'll let you, but that's up to you. Maybe you want to fast from Facebook or something like that, but spend that time you would be spending on whatever that is, eating on that meal time, and asking God for direction and wisdom for us as a community of believers at Garden Valley Church. you're a visitor, I would encourage you to just spend some time at the beginning of the year. What does God want for you in the year to come? What direction does he want you to go? Maybe you're facing some life choices. I want to encourage you to take some time of prayer and fasting like Daniel did, is where we're getting it from. Daniel did, and I think it's Daniel chapter 10, 9 or 10, and he spent some time fasting, a partial fast, for 21 days, and God answered his prayer because of his persistence in the spiritual battle that he was in. We are in a spiritual battle. I need your help. You need each other's help. We all need each other to get in this together and cry out to God and lift our requests up to him and seek his direction and his wisdom in our lives. So I want to encourage you to do that in the beginning of this year. Begin now if you want. Fast over Christmas. No, just kidding. Don't do that. That's a time of feasting and celebrating the birth of Jesus. That's why we celebrate this. This is a fragrant aroma. Next week, we're going to talk about the darker gift of the three. Jim's going to take that one. I let him do that one. Oh, yeah. So anyway, I want to encourage you to look at these gifts. Look at your life. Are you reflecting the aroma of Christ?